Lord for being God and for doing all the things that he not only have done, but what he continues to do for us each and every day of our lives. And so we do bring him honor. We give him glory, and we thank God for allowing us to be here. We thank God for his presence. We thank God and give honor to the ministers of the gospel this morning, and we pray their strength in the Lord. God would keep us all in his love and care. Even in a time such as this, we ought to still have a mind to praise God. And I know that there are those that you're not feeling all like you would like to be. You're not 100%, but it's just a blessing just to be counted amongst the living. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank God for being that God that is always there, even behind closed doors. He's the one in our bedrooms. He's the one that's in our sick room and allows us to know that I'm still watching over you. I'm taking care of you. And even when you don't have strength enough to do, I'm still right there. So I thank God for that kind of God and that kind of love this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, we would again share with you out of the 43rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. For your consideration this morning, I'm going to read verse 4, and then I'm going to jump to verse 10 through 12. Supporting scriptures this morning, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, and the 34th Psalms, verse 1. The 43rd chapter of Ezekiel, verse 4 reads, "And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east." Verse 10, "Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof. And write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house." The base of our thinking coming from that 12th verse. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The 34th Psalms, verse 1. Says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Hallelujah, Jesus. On the base of those verses, we'd like to speak from a thought this morning that is actually twofold. First of all, don't neglect the law of the house. Don't neglect the law of the house. Subtopic, meet me at the gate. Meet me at the gate. Songwriter said, "I was praying because I know what prayer can do." So in other words, I got up talking to the Lord this morning. I got up telling him all about my trouble, telling God just how much I love him. Anybody got up this morning, didn't have any complaints or anything, just wanted to tell God, "I just want to thank you. I know that there's some sickness in the land, and there may be some bills unpaid, and there may be some problems in your life, but how many just don't mind giving God a praise this morning? Just for being who he is to you." Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. There ought to be a time in our lives that we ought to just thank God. I know we always asking him for something because we always need something. But it's good sometimes just to say, "Lord, I just want to thank you. Hallelujah. Even though you may know you're going through, you just walked out the fire. But Lord, I thank you that it didn't consume me. I thank you that it didn't burn me no more than what it did. Hallelujah. I thank you, God. I got a scar, but I'm going to be all right. How many of you know a scar is just a reminder of where you've been, but it also ought to be a reminder of the healing process of a mighty God? You can look on your bodies and ever since childhood, there's some marks and some scrapes and some things that might have been a long time ago, but you know and God knows exactly where you got that mark from. Hallelujah, Jesus. We ought to recognize this morning where our blessings come from. And every song is a message, and we ought to get whatever the meaning is. We ought to get the meaning from, whether it's a song, testimony, message, or whatever it is. King Solomon said, out of all of you, getting, get an understanding. So we need to understand that somebody need just what is going on in here this morning. Somebody need to know that they're in a place where they can be free to let go and let God. Because there are some places that one might go and they may say you're making a little too much noise. There are some places you might go and they don't allow a whole lot of hand clapping and foot stomping. So you have to sit there. And not that they don't love God just as much as you love God. See, we got to learn how to stop pointing the finger and stop being judgmental about the way other folk are. Whether it's in their moral lives or in their Christian lives, you got to worry about your own soul salvation. And know that there comes a time that you got to take time out to examine and see, where am I with my God? I know that I may have some friends or some associates, but where am I with God? Because that's the most important relationship that you ever have in your life. And it amazes me. It amazes me how God blesses us, and yet we still don't have a problem acting like God still owes us something. When we look back over our lives, all of us in here can say beyond a surety that God has blessed us beyond measure. And it's not so much about material things or about the house you live in now and the electricity and all the other modern things that we have to enjoy now. But when we say, when I look back and see what the Lord God has done for me, God has done more for me than just give me material things. Material things, they come and they go. Material things have a lot of meaning to you when you first get it. But after you've had it for a while and you get used to having things, how many of you believe that they're just things? But there's something about God. The more he touches you, the more he visits you, the more you realize that he's still in your life, it just gets better and better and better. You just don't get bored. You don't get tired of God if you know really who God really is to you. And the God that I'm talking about, he has all power in his hands. That's why God can allow the wind to come and to chill things down in just a mere hours. God has the power that in just a few seconds, if he so desires, he can change that sunshine to a storm. And regardless of how many times we say, Lord, I didn't know it was going to rain. Lord, I don't want to be cold. I don't want this, that, or the other. It is what it is. And we serve a God this morning that can do whatever he wants to do. We've been blessed by God, and we've seen how amazing it is that time is passing by so fast. We've assembled ourselves here on the first Sunday of November, getting ready to plan that Thanksgiving feast. And some have already started making plans, jotting down notes and getting the menu together, because you're looking for a high time. You're looking for a time of fellowship, a time of love, or time of Thanksgiving, where we are thankful to God just for having a bite to eat. And we got to understand that. And after that, just a couple of more blinks and the year is gone. So now, when you began to think, January, I made some promises to God. I said that I'm going to do this this year and I'm going to do that. How many of you have achieved your goal? Your time is running out. You got to be careful. And we say that at the beginning of the year, and we just bring in a reminder that those things that we said that we were going to do, we got to always include if the Lord will or if he allows it to happen in my life. We got to stop taking so much control of ourselves, because we got to understand that you don't belong to yourself. We were bought with a price, and we owe God something for the lives that we live. There comes a time that we got to understand that we ought to be glad that God has blessed us just to be here one with another. We ought to be thankful that God has allowed us another opportunity to come and lift up his holy name. He has blessed us and brought us to this house again. And as he come, we ought to know that we ought to be thankful that the Spirit of the Almighty God abides in this place. I'm thankful to be able to feel the presence of God's Holy Spirit, because if there wasn't nothing but just us, it wouldn't be a whole lot going on. But when the Spirit of God comes in and manifests itself, it tends to make us forget about that we are just flesh and bones. It makes us forget about that we have fallen along the way. It even reminds us that even though we've sinned and fallen short, that we serve a loving, compassionate God that is still being right there by our side. And that God I'm talking about, he wants us to continue to love one another and to pray one for another. We got to pray for one another's strength. We got to pray for that person that's sitting beside you. You ought to pray that God bless them, whatever it is that they might be going through, or whatever it is that they stand in need of. God bless not only me, but bless the one sitting beside me. And I don't have to know all the details. I don't have to know all the things that are going on in their life. But I just want to know that when you said the strong must bear the infirmities of the weak, give me a day to be strong. Don't let me be the weak one all the time. Anybody get tired of being the weak one? There ought to be a time you ought to be glad to be a help to somebody else. You ought to be glad if it's no more than I can take your trash out. That's something that you don't have to do. So I'm glad to be able to do something for you. We always sitting around with our hands out, waiting on somebody to put something in there. And the sad thing is, a lot of times, as soon as they load your hand up, you get what you got. And some of you don't even take time to say thank you. Now, you know, if you do one another like that, you can imagine how we do God. Because not only on Sunday morning, but a lot of us all through the week, we God this, God that, God that. And we ought to talk to God. The Bible declares, pray without ceasing. So we ought to always pray. But don't worry the Lord to death about stuff that you know God going to do. If you ask him and you believe in him and you believe in his word, sometimes you got to claim it to be already done. There's some time that you got to speak some things into existence for yourself. Lord, I know you paid the way, but I'm going to call it just like I said. I see myself getting out of this mess. I see myself getting up off of this bed of affliction. As long as you lay there and ponder in your sin and in your mess, you're going to be down there. But as soon as you look up and know that that's where your help comes from, and you reach up and grab hold of your help and ask your help, pull me up out of this situation, God will immediately begin to work on your behalf. Any witnesses in the house to know that when everybody else had their minds on the closed in, God had an open door? God said, come on in, I'll bless you anyhow. It's a good thing to be able to share the love of Jesus one with another. A love that should be compassionate, and we should be kind one to another. The word teaches us that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we got to be careful about those things that we do. Most importantly, we ought to be trying to do the right thing. Jesus says, love one another as he has loved us. Then the Bible declares, love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our body, and all of our soul, all of our mind. And then he goes on to say, and thy neighbor as thyself. So love goes farther than you. Love should go farther than your household. Love should go beyond the threshold of your doors. That love that I'm talking about is a love that will help you when nobody else can help you. And I wonder how many of you think about what a blessing it is that we are just able to be here counted amongst the living. Old folk used to say clothed in our right mind. And a good thing that we need to rejoice on is that we are here by choice. Nobody, unless you're a child and it was your parents, forced you to come to the house of God this morning. But you woke up with a mind that I'm going to church. And when you made up in your mind that you were coming to the house of God, you ought to come not only looking for a blessing, but you ought to come to get your blessing. Why are you going to look for something when you know that it's there? If you want it, go get it. Bible says you have not because you ask not. If you ask God before you left home, then somewhere between now and home and even before you got here, God could have already answered your prayer. You got to know that God hears and he does answer our prayer. We got to know that God wants us to know that in order to do what he wants us to do, we got to know first of all who he is. We got to give reverence to his holy name. Then we got to learn more about him and his ways. We got to know that it's not our way, but his way is the best way. And we got to know that when we come into the house of God, somebody ought to come to tell God thank you. Somebody came into the house of God this morning just to let the Lord know that I'm just glad to be in the number one more time. There are those of us that are yet asking for supplications and asking God to do some things in our lives. There are those of us that could say like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in God's house. I'm glad to be in Fowl's Chapel this morning. I'm glad to be in the midst of my brothers and my sisters. To look upon your faces one more time. Don't you know we never know when the last time we're going to see one another? So we ought to be very mindful to treat one another like we ought to want to be treated. We ought to treat one another like this is the last time that I might see my brother. So if I'm not going to see you anymore, I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that I'm still standing by you. I want you to know that I'm there, and if anything that I can do, we ought to be willing to do what we can one for another. So we ought to be glad this morning. God have allowed us another opportunity on the first Sunday of the month to come and break bread together one more time. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, there's something very significant about breaking bread together. Because that is the body and the blood of Christ. For every believer that partakes of God's holy communion, we are taking a part of Christ within ourselves. We are being obedient to the word of God. And the word of God tells us that as often as we do it, we do show his death until he come. Now, I stand this morning realizing that things have changed, but not much. All has still sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I come this morning to sort of share a word of warning. This warning comes through the words of the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a priest whose name means God with strength. He was among the Jewish exiles that were carried away into Babylon. He was a man of stern integrity and strong purpose. He was one that was completely devoted to religion. Ezekiel was a priest that believed in doing the right thing.
He was the one that he realized that I got to keep the sins of all the generations of those that were born in exile before the children of Israel. So when the new generations come, they won't fall into the same traps that their forefathers fell in. Because even though God had delivered the children of Israel and had done miraculous things in their life, they still served idol gods. They still fell away from the true law of God, and they began to do things in their own way. Ezekiel was one that witnessed that even in the temple of God, in one room, they were doing things the right way, and then in another room, they were doing things the devil's way. And Ezekiel realized that God is not pleased. Ezekiel was that one that even saw the glory of the Lord leave the temple of God. And the Bible declares that after King Solomon's temple, when the glory was there with all of his full and with all of his glory, that after that, that glory will not come until Jesus returns. So even though we are able to say, I'm glad that the Holy Spirit is here, we don't have the Holy of Holies in here. We don't have that same glory that they had in here. So now if what little bit we got can make us run when we don't feel like running, or cry when nobody is bothering us, or jump up and down for the glory of God, who wouldn't serve a God like that? The Bible says that Ezekiel saw a vision of the glory of the Lord coming to fill God's temple once again. Ezekiel's main job was to declare some good news. That in the midst of your mess, all you got to do is trust, believe the word of God. And I'm here to let you know that after you have repented, God will come back and restore back unto you everything that it seemed like the devil took away. All of your glory going to come right back. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ezekiel was the one that wanted them to know that God will sustain your faith and renew your hope in restoration in God's own time. The Bible says, afterward, he brought me to the gate. Even the gate that looked toward the east. Behold, the glory of God of Israel came by way of the east. His voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. Bible says, and it was according to the appearance of the vision. So now this lets us know that Ezekiel is experiencing a vision that comes from God. It's not a dream. It's not a figment of his imagination. But God has put this vision in this man of God's heart, in his mind, and in his eyes. Now let us look at what he sees. He says that, I saw, even according to the vision that I saw, when I came to destroy the city. It was Ezekiel that had proclaimed that God was going to destroy the city. Now, Ezekiel is taking responsibility, but he realizes that it was God himself that destroyed the city. But now Ezekiel is saying, now the visions were like the vision that I saw at the river Shebar. And when I saw the vision of God, God is such an awesome God. And if my body was what it used to be, I'd fall flat in this floor right now. But since God has taught me that you can't do everything you think you can do, sometimes you have to paint the picture with words. So you need to visualize in your mind that because of the glory of God, Ezekiel fell prostrate to the ground before the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, I told you I can't show you, but do you see what I'm saying? So now, if this man of God, who was so close to God, gave God that type of reverence when the Spirit of God was in his midst. Oh, Zion, what's the matter now? You see how God's word can come back around and remind us where we are right now, meet us exactly where we are. Now, let's get back in the text. Okay. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, which prospect, in other words, which view was toward the east. Now, what you got to understand is that when the glory of God left, it left out of the east. And when God goes through, the door closes. So you're not able to get in there just because you want to be in there. I don't care how much God loves you. God is not going to be in his word for you, me, or anybody else. The word is exactly what it is. So now, visualize Ezekiel laying flat on his face on the ground. But now, verse 5 says that the Spirit took me up, brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, get this. Ezekiel couldn't get through the door on his own accord, but the Spirit of the Almighty God lifted him up and put him all the way in the midst of the inner court. He didn't walk across the church ground. He didn't walk through this door, that door, but God, through his Spirit, put him right there at the altar in the midst of all of God's glory. Now, when he got there, Ezekiel says, I heard speaking unto me out of the house. And the man stood by me. So now, let's make it plain. Ezekiel is under the power of the Spirit of God. Ezekiel hears the word, the voice of the Lord coming out of the house. There's an angel, a man standing by him that has shown Ezekiel some things, but this man is not talking right now because the Spirit of the Lord is talking out of the house. What did he say? He said, son of man, in other words, I'm God and you just my son. So now I'm the one that's in control. I'm the one that has all the power and the authority, but I'm speaking these words through your lips so that you can tell the people of God. Tell them this. Tell them this, that the soles of my feet where you dwell in the midst of the children of Israel. For my name is holy. The house of Israel has been defiled. Neither they nor their kings nor their whoredom nor the carcasses of their kings in their high places. I don't care who considers themselves to be in authority. The Lord is saying it's not about them. But he's saying in the setting of this threshold, it's my threshold, the post by my post, and the wall between me and them. They've even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed. Wherefore, I consume them up in my anger. Those are those folk that I was talking about. The right thing was going on in one room and some mess was going on in the other room. So because they were doing it in the temple of God, they had defiled the house of God. So God is saying, Ezekiel, you don't have to do anything. I've already consumed them up with my anger. You can run, but you can't hide. Now, Ezekiel comes back. He said, now, all they got to do, put away their whoredoms. Put away all of those things that they feel like the king is all of that, but they still dwell in the midst of them. Then he says again, thy son of man, show the house to the house of Israel. You hear what I'm saying? The word of God says, show the house to the house of Israel. So what Ezekiel is saying, the Lord says, show my house to the children of Israel, who is the house of God, the real church. Not that mess they've been messing with. But he says, if you show it to them, that they might be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. I don't have to point the finger. I don't have to misjudge you, because I don't know nothing. But I know somebody that know everything there is to know about us. But what the prophet is saying, Ezekiel is saying, I want you, preacher man, to show the house to the house. How are you going to do it? He said, well, show them the form of the house, the fashion thereof, the goings out thereof, the comings in thereof, all the forms thereof, the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof that are the laws thereof. So in other words, show them what goes on in the house. Well, there's a lot going on in the house. So I got to teach the people of God how to get in and how to get out. We've been blessed with more than two doors. So we got doors to the east and the west and the north and the south. But doesn't matter how you get in. Once you get in the inside, know what you got to do. It's my job to help show the house to the house. How do you do that? When they call you everything but a child of God, you still stand tall. You give God the glory and the praise. You love them despite whatever they may have done to you. That's how you show the house. Goings and the comings, the audiences there. Our church, only two audiences, baptism and the Lord's Supper. So it's our job that when you join the church, to let you know the audiences of the house. I come to tell you, don't neglect the law of the house. The laws of the house said that we must abide by the laws of God. The laws of the house said that we must keep the ordinances that God has put upon us. Then it says, all the forms thereof and the laws thereof. Well, we got some policies. We got what we call bylaws. Those are the things that we sit down and decided that we're going to go on these things to run the house. So I just stopped by to let you know that you got to stop neglecting the house. Stop neglecting the laws of the house. Who is it that are responsible to keep these laws intact? Anyone that says, I'm a member of the Fowles Chapel or any chapel, Baptist Church. Now, I'm not talking about those denominations that I know not of. But the laws of this house. The Bible says, write it in their sight. Woo! that they might be able to keep the whole form thereof and the ordinances thereof and do them. Who gonna do it? Well, having been led. Oh God. As we believe by the Spirit of God, we're led to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's printed so you can see it. So now, not going to trouble you with it, but if you don't know it, you better get it. Now, those of you that like it back there, those of you that like it over there, you can't see this. It's called the covenant. You need to know what you promised to do. You can't see that? I'll get you a copy. You can walk around with it. So anytime you're in doubt, talking about what they doing, you look at your copy. So no, it's not they, it's us. Priest says, this is the law of the house. Priest says, upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be holy. You remember when all the church ground was holy ground? We had respect for the house of God. We had respect for the church ground. We had respect for knowing that God don't like things done any kind of way. We love God enough that we didn't come out of the side of our neck on church ground. We may have felt it on the inside. We may have thought it in our mind. May even told somebody, you meet me across the street. I tell you what, I think about you. But I'm not going to discredit the house of God. Gotta say it. Not only do we say anything, we'll tell a lie right in the house of God. The Bible says that the whole house, from the mountaintop or the top of the roof or the temple all the way down to the basement, ought to be holy. Well, don't forget, parking lot, holy ground. So, make somebody mad this morning. I understand your respect for me. But ain't no need to hide behind the car, smoking your cigarette on church ground. And all you worried about is me. I don't have a heaven or a hell to carry you to. But the God that I serve, you can't hide that smoke from him. Let alone, you want to give you a good idea of how we treat God's grounds. Because there was a time people didn't just start smoking. But I never ever seen the old saints smoking on the grounds. They had respect enough for the house of God. They had reverence enough to God to know that I'm afraid of what God might do to me. So I'm not going to carry myself any kind of way. Must be teaching time. Now that we know law, the orderly system of rules and regulations by which society is governed, by which our biblical churches should be governed by some type of law. It's a unique law code that was given by God known as the Ten Commandments. So that is the laws that we stand under. We know the house to be the temple, the tabernacle, the house of God, that place which we call the church. So now, on the basis of all that Ezekiel has shared with us, I just want to say to you this morning, don't you neglect the laws of the house. Now, we know that we got to do things decent and in order. But also, we got to understand that King Solomon realized that I went out and I experienced some things in life. I realized that everybody is not going to be just like me. There's going to come a time that you might fall short in your life. But I just stopped by to let you know that King Solomon said the conclusion of the whole matter. That if we are going to not neglect the laws of God, the conclusion of the whole matter tells us, fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. So if we're going to keep the laws of God, we got to have fear where fear is due. We got to give God the reverence that he so much need and desire. We got to know that it's not all about us this morning, but it's all about the power of a mighty God. I just stopped by to let somebody know this morning that it's time out for you going through the motions. You got to treat God like he is the supreme being. You got to know that the Lord God will be right there by your side. You got to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Then, if you want to keep the laws of the house, another law is that we always ought to have a mind to praise the Lord our God. That's why David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I look upon them. I looked at their faces. They was not ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord God heard him. I just stopped by to tell somebody that if you get a taste of the Lord will do what you need him to do. You know that God will be right there by your side. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is a merciful God. He is a loving God. He is the one that can do what nobody else can do. And I just want to let you know this morning that you better stop neglecting the laws of the house. When I read this particular text this morning, I found out that God is a mighty good God. Anybody here love the Lord our God? Anybody want to feel the glory of God? Anybody know that God got all glory in his hand? Anybody know that the Lord will be right there by your side? I heard the Bible say, that afterward he brought me to the gate. And at the gate I looked around and I saw the glory of the Lord at the east side of the gate. If you go to the east side of the gate. I want to let you know that the Lord God is going to be right there. That's why I had double emotion. I wanted you to know something about the law of God. But I want to know this morning, is there anybody in the house that is willing to meet me at the gate? At the gate where the Lord God will be right there. I know that there's a song that we sing sometimes. At the gate, I know somebody is waiting. At the gate, I know. But I'm not talking about necessarily that gate. I want you to meet me at the gate where the glory of the Lord shall shine. The glory of the Holy of Holies. The glory of the Lord our God. The one that sits high and look down low. The one that'll do what nobody can do in your life. That God that I know this morning that looked beyond all of our faults and blessed our every need. I want to know this morning, is there anybody in the house that are willing to meet me at the gate? To armor themselves in the feet of the Lord. To prostrate yourself down in the Lord. To say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want me to do. Wherever you want me to go. Oh, Lord, I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. Because you done brought me from a mighty long way. I remember what you did for the children of Israel. And I know you'll do the same thing for me. Anybody glad this morning that the Lord God woke you up, started you on another day's journey, forgot about you yesterday, and said, this is the day that the Lord God has made. When I begin to think about the goodness of the Lord, oh, and all that God has done, there might be somebody this morning that got in their mind, for God I'll live, and for God I'll die. There are times when you're feeble in your body, and you feel like you cannot go on, but when you're weak, God will make you strong. When you're down and out, how many of you know God will pick you back up? When they counted you out for lost, God has a way of making everything all right. When they close the door in your face, God has a way this morning to open up those closed doors, make a way out of no way. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise, his praise, his praise shall be in my mouth. I will exalt his name. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I know that the Lord hear me when I call on his name. Is there anybody here? Anybody here that's calling on the name of the Lord? Anybody in here this morning that knows something about the glory of God? That God has been by your house. God has been in your living room. God has been in your sick room. God has been in your bedroom. God has been there when everybody else was gone. Made a way out of no way. Picked up your bent down head. Wiped your teary eyes. And let you know that everything, everything is going to be all right. I serve a God this morning that I can talk just like Ezekiel. That the Lord that I serve, he will do what he said that he would do. Don't neglect the laws of the house. And if you keep the laws of the house, then you can't help but feel his glory. And when you feel his glory, and you begin to think about that vision that Ezekiel saw. And Ezekiel said that when I saw it, I could see his glory. And because of his glory, it shined and it radiated everything in my midst. Ezekiel says that if we love God, we got to know the laws of God. God's law, it didn't die after the Old Testament. Those of us that like to justify our here being and what we do, you know, we say that, oh, I'm not living in the Old Testament. I'm living under grace. Well, God's grace is sufficient. But now, when God knows that you know what is the right thing to do, to whom much is given, much is required. And so because of that, God's chastisement would be many stripes for those that know better And for those that are, you know, that may be hanging with you, but they just don't know no better, they'll get a few stripes. But God gonna beat you like old school beating. Anybody had an old school beating? Where they stopped whooping clothes and they beat skin? That's what I'm talking about. God is going to have to get to the place where he wait until you lay down in your bed and you think everything's fine. Oh, glory, I made it, I made it. And just before you close your eyes, it's like a sudden whirlwind done come through. Anybody ever had a mama or daddy that can snatch the covers off you like a whirlwind? By the time you realize that the cover's been snatched, you already getting the beat down. But it don't take long for you to remember. I know what I'm getting this for. I thought I got away, but she didn't forget.